The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States
heavyweight. Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned the title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious professionals.
How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 295 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLorente, and I'm joined by my co-host of the RawCast, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
So it looks like you got it right this time. You didn't wait to the end of the show to recognize as a
WrestleCast. I'm wanting from the top, the tippy this time, as they say.
Yeah. Well, what's going on, listeners? Another week, another pay-per-view. We'll talk about that. I mean, explosions be damned, but you know, hey.
We're joined, returning by the RawCast analyst himself, Mr. Samuel Kalunga. What's going on, Sam?
I just want y'all to know for the record, I bootlegged the hell out of Fastlane. I'm not touching any service. I'm not touching anything that has the word cock in it.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Oh, man. This is going to be a classic one tonight.
And we're joined by our special guest, our reoccurring guest here on the WrestleCast to help us break down these pay-per-views, Charlotte Flair's number one fan.
Hey! I'm
pretty sure he's sending her orange juice and sympathy cards as we speak.
I ain't trying to get my ass kicked by Andre.
Shaolin Shogun. What's going on, Sean?
What's going on, man? I ain't got no cute opening. You know, I had one in mind, but Sam just blew me away with the cock joint. So I'm just going to say, I'm happy to be here. I'm not going to get fined, and I'm ready to go.
All right. This is the WrestleCast. You can find us on the web at thecspn.us. You can subscribe to the show and all the shows underneath the banner. All you have to do is look for the WrestleCast - the CSPN on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. All you have to do is subscribe to the logo with the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign. So we start every program officially with the Mo Meltzer news segment, and I know Mo has been busy this week.
Busy ain't the word. It's been a lot that's been going on. So the big news is Andrade finally got to get his walking papers. It was right after the pay-per-view last on Sunday. They announced that he was released. He kind of teased up. He kind of like teased up to it when he said he got good news, and then that's when WWE did the proper wish him well on his endeavors, yada yada yada, and everybody you know who's worked with him on the roster, you know, sent their best wishes and everything. Kind of fed to some rumors that a certain fiance of his played a role in him getting his walking papers, because when he asked for it last week, they said no. Then all of a sudden, they had a different tune on Sunday, and he's free. I think they say he's free with no 90-day clause, no non-compete clause. So
if that's interesting. If that's true, Charlotte Flair got the stroke.
Yeah, she definitely got some pull. So,
man, pays to be a Flair.
So he's free from the WWE. A lot of people want to look at this and say this was a failure on the WWE part because they didn't know what to do with him. And it's like we look back at, you know, takeover Brooklyn a couple of years ago, had the 5-star classic with Johnny Gargano. Had a great match with Aleister Black, who's another one that's sitting in catering, eating up all the food, drinking up all the drinks,
eating all the pig feet,
all the hog
all the hog maws.
All the hamburgers. I want some hog maws. I want some of them chitlins.
I want some of them pig ears.
Yeah, so he's gone.
Did you notice in his farewell tweet,
he
thanked everybody except Ms. McMahon?
He thanked Triple H, Paul Heyman, and
William Regal.
William Regal.
See, and the thing about it, I'm glad, I really want, I wish more people would do that. Like, when they get let go or contract expires and it's not picked back up, like, don't play with the shit. Like, fuck the politics. Say what's real. Andrade, he knew who was for him and who supported him. You know, Vince McMahon didn't do shit for that dude. Like, held him down. And Andrade has a lot of talent. And Vince is always looking for that next Rey Mysterio, that next Eddie Guerrero. So it made no sense for him not to give him the ball and run with it. Like, he had the perfect duo with Andrade and Zelina, and he didn't know what the fuck to do to that. So shout out to Andrade for shouting out Triple H, William Regal, and Paul Heyman, the three people in WWE who know what the fuck they're doing.
That's what I was just about to say. I was about to say, once Zelina got fired, it kind of, you know, him and Angel Garza, yeah, they got kind of left out in the lurch. So, you know what I'm saying? That everything that they were working with just got fizzled away. So,
what happened to the other dude, Humberto? He's
in Cater. Main event.
Main event is a thing. I sometimes forget, but then I see people tweet about it. And hey, main event is the. But hey,
no, they're talking about going to the amusement place. They're like, I'm going to main event.
Yo, Charlotte pitched. Now everybody's always online wanting Charlotte to change up her character. She pitched an idea for them to be on screen with each other, which would have been totally different than anything that she's ever done, and they turned her down.
Well, you know Vince McMahon's thoughts on race mixing.
But he just made a sap. I ain't gonna go there yet. I ain't gonna talk about Apollo Crews. Yeah.
See, stop it.
I stopped. Go ahead. Stop. All
right. It's y'all terrible. So apparently. So there's an injury on NXT. Danny Burch.
Oh yeah.
So that's for you and just for early bird for you and Semi. So they vacated the NXT tag team titles.
Did they say what was wrong with him? A shoulder?
Definitely said it was a move that Karrion Kross did on him last week.
Fucking Mark Mero.
It was a move that he did on him, and that's why we didn't see him no more in the match. And so they came out there, and it was like,
I wouldn't know for the record that I was the first one to tweet out the gif of Sable powerbombing Mark Mero when they first announced Karrion Kross and Scarlett. For the record, I want that on the record.
Well, they said, well, never mind. I mean, can y'all keep saying that she's going to powerbomb him and that's going to be the end of him? And I'm just waiting to see. I'm waiting for that.
Yo, day. I'm waiting on it too. But can I say my reaction to hearing about the injury is that, yo, week by week, and this has never happened before in NXT's history for me. Week by week, I forget who the NXT tag team champions are.
It's right.
Like, and that's never happened with me. I've always known who the champions in NXT were until Oney and Danny became tag team champions. And I, for the life of me, I go into Wednesday nights like, who the fuck are the tag team champions?
That's because they took their lifeblood away. They took Pat McAfee away. Pat McAfee was still there. You wouldn't forget.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't forget because Pat wouldn't shut up about it. You're right.
What else? Batista is not going to be in this year's Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So the word was it was going around saying that it was a scheduling conflict, but I heard, I read another story that said that he, they want him to be inducted where we have fans around. So,
aren't they filming?
They are. They filming. Yeah. They filming for the 2020 class and the.
No. I'm like, aren't they filming Guardians or Thor right now? Oh.
Filming Guardians because like the director came out because it was like some rumor that was running around and the director came out and was like, no, we're not filming right now.
But he's still in. But aren't they supposed to be in the Thor movie too?
Oh, you mean the Asgardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably the next team or whatever, Thor and the Guardians.
And just the reason why I bring it up, I could see it being both of those reasons that both of them had play into it. And, yo, to be real, Batista's a name. So, you know, it's just like Brock Lesnar's not going to come and wrestle but in front of a less capacity crowd. So, you know, why not save Batista for another year when, you know, we're post-COVID? So it makes sense. And then we can give NWO all the love.
Yeah, because Bischoff was announced as the being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And Paul Heyman with a record said that's long overdue for him, which I agree.
To point.
And I can imagine when he gets in there, it's going to be a big thing as well too. And there's a rumor that there's someone else going to be announced. I'm not going to say who it is, but it was kind of a spoiler that someone else is going to be announced. It's going to be somebody who has ties with Heyman as well too. But
all I'm going to say is thumbs up.
if you got something that you need to roll up, go right ahead.
Man, I hope he at that ceremony high as fuck.
Chances are he will be.
Man, he's over there living it up, man. He has two wives. He's doing that thing.
Polygamy is a motherfucker, boy. Shout out to him.
I don't know about two wives. That sounds like that could be a little daunting.
It sounds like too much work.
Yes. Now, my man Lou Williams with the two girlfriends. Now, that sounds a little bit more intriguing.
That's true. So, no, that's about it. I'll end it there. Everything else we can talk about.
I'll add something. So I was watching the New Japan Cup. Me and Mr. Anwar Starwin will be reviewing that here shortly. So hold on to your seats on that.
Are you going to talk about the Bea Priestley thing?
Yeah, it was abuse by Will Ospreay. It was amazing. Can't believe that it happened. Actually, it was quite shocking. But we'll talk about that towards the end of the at the end of that review. But no, I normally don't watch the multi-man tag matches. I kind of just fast forward straight to the tournament matches. So I see this match with Tanahashi, Kota Ibushi, and Okada on the same team, with Jay White, Kenta on the same team, and another member of the Bullet Club, Yujiro. So I'm like, let me stop and watch this. So I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, strange things start happening, and the wrestlers freeze, and everybody like gets out of the ring, and they start showing like the roof of this brand new like basketball arena that is like first event in this place is New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they're showing the lights, and these lights are swaying back and forth, and it's like, I think I just watched an earthquake, and that's exactly what happened, like a 7.2 earthquake.
Yep.
Hit Sendai Saturday morning during the middle of this wrestling event, this wrestling match. So yeah, that was pretty surreal to see, like, you know, this action taking place in the middle of the ring, and all of a sudden everybody like freeze, and you know, you can see the camera moving and everything. It's like, that's an earthquake. Wow. So that was pretty like chance. You know, because usually I would have fast-forwarded and never heard anything about it. But yeah, so that was pretty, like, weird to see that. But it was a good match.
How long until they pick things up again?
It's probably about a 30-minute delay. They had to make sure that the building was sound, and they were like, basically, hey, we're going to continue, but if we get any more aftershocks, then, you know, we're going to shut it down for the night. But, you know, they got through the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Also, a couple other things. Big Cass, he returned to SWE. I guess this is the organ. I know Teddy Long's like the general manager down there.
Oh shit! So bunch of tag teams going on, player.
What's your Undertaker matches?
Right, he was Melina's special, like I guess special guest or enforcer, something like that. And he, you know, he's back in the game. Also, we still know what was going on with Keith Lee. Don't know. He's saying that when the time comes, he'll address it, but he's just off TV for the time being.
Oh, SWE is that show in Texas. Yeah, Salida De Lorenzo was there this past week, I think.
I know exactly what's up with Keith Lee. You know what's up with Keith Lee? Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is up with Keith Lee. Because Keith Lee probably has not... He's like, hey, man, I gave you one concession. I changed my music. Okay, man, I gave you another concession. I'm not doing any of these high-flying moves that make me Keith Lee. Vince probably asked him to do something else, and he's probably like, nah, I, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing else for me to give you. You know what I'm saying?
Did he tell him to stop talking like Fraser Crane?
That's probably the last straw. That's probably what it was. Change program.
Some kind of hip hop slang in your voice,
and talk
jive.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, he can't talk like that, but the Sacramento Negro can talk like an African.
sir.
So yeah. Believe- so he's in.
You leave real African American alone.
He's in the.
I am a real African American. I'm like, wait, what?
And as long as you're there. You know, the best thing that can happen for him is the same thing that happened to Finn. Go on back to NXT and pick up where you left off.
Thank you.
Get your revenge on Karrion Kross. If Karrion Kross is the one to beat Finn for the title, let Karrion Kross have it for a little bit of time, and then you come on back to NXT and get your rematch and start it back over.
Vince fucks up all these guys or gives up all these guys with so much talent, and then y'all know when he gets Karrion Kross, he's gonna try to give Karrion Kross the world.
Oh, Triple H definitely. Pretty much. You know,
Mark Mero is gonna get everything that he ever wanted.
he may see Scarlett and say, "No, she needs to be the face."
You know, this out. You know, I made a statement. It's like we'll hand a guy like Karrion Kross the world, but Johnny Gargano's best place is always NXT.
Oh, they got Tommaso so there. Lucky.
You know, Roderick Strong, always NXT. Like, those guys who can go.
Yeah, they got so lucky that they had to hit the go back button for them.
Yes.
Because they would definitely be in catering, or they would
205 Live.
205 right. Live, yeah, which is far worse than main event because, you know, ain't nobody
watches that. 205 Live. It's like they had some good matches on 205 Live.
Yeah, they do, man, and that's the bad thing about it. They've always had good matches on 205 Live. It's just that, you know, who's watching that?
Well, there's a couple more things. So, Don, you and Sammy were wondering why a lot of people were missing from NXT. So apparently, that COVID breakout that's talked about last week was a reality.
Huh? With them moving the rings?
Well, yeah, but it was a whole lot. It was like Triple H was in quarantine. That's why we didn't see Candice and Johnny at the show. When Tommaso Ciampa was talking about Timothy Thatcher being missing, he was part of that. So was Alexander Wolf. The whole match was Swerve and
Leon Ruff.
Leon Ruff that got called off. That was the reason why. See, there's a lot that was, they were taking precautionary measures with everyone. So that was the thing there.
You know what? I'm kind of glad that Swerve and Rough Match was called off. Like, I would like to see that during one of the nights on. Stand and Deliver.
Yes, give me that in a couple weeks.
Preferably on the USA Network, because might be a delay if we watch it on the cock,
But so that was the reason why a lot of people were missing from NXT. They had to do some rewrites.
Gotcha. Well, we won't rewrite this. We'll talk about Fastlane. Came to us this past Sunday. Thank you for everybody who used the hashtag cast in the Fastlane to share their commentary with color. I like to give myself the Barry Horowitz pat on the back for winning. Who you got for Fastlane? Thank you very much, Mo. Thank you very much, Miss J to the Max, for playing. I will take my trophy and try to defend it at WrestleMania.
Here's the thing, Queen Mel Mini did it first, so.
Oh yeah, I never claimed my Royal Rumble victory. I picked both winners.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
You have prizes in the prize box. Yes, must be present to go. All right, cool.
What they say, we'll accept this award with his honor.
Who used to do? DD used to do that. I remember.
Oh yeah. All right, so we start off with the pre-show. Matt Riddle, he defended that United States title against Mustafa Ali. Riddle got the win. He headed up top, but Ali sweeps his legs out from under him. But Riddle manages to pull Ali up top with him. He hits the Bro Derek from the second rope. And of course, that gets the three count. After the match, Mustafa Ali does his berating retribution thing. He gets in Reckoning's face, but she turns and walks out of the ring on him. Slapjack follows Reckoning up the ramp. T-Bar and Mace deliver a double team choke slam to Ali before leaving him all alone in the ring.
Now, the Reckoning half flipped him and then she walked away. That's why I saw that. Like, she half flipped him and walked away.
That black in her, boy.
Yeah. She's like, enough of this. You ain't gonna just talk to me like any kind of way every week for some stuff you can't get.
Come on, something. How you? When have you done to pull your weight? I was like, well,
Is she still wearing that dominatrix mask?
She is. she showed the graphic of herself going her old face, but her
old face.
Like her,
it's not a China situation.
Her with the mask on.
Yeah, her transition. She's transitioning away from the mask. Well, yeah, I'm glad they finally decided. Yeah,
David was with her for the longest time, but he couldn't get her. So.
This match was just rest in peace, retribution. I'm just glad, fingers crossed, that this is over and all these people can move on. You know, put Mace in that box where DX sent the Fear Squad. I don't know what the fuck to do with Slapdick without his tag team partner, and just let Dominic and Mia do their thing alone. They don't need this bullshit.
Yeah, the moves you don't make sometime. Mercedes Martinez definitely dodged a bullet.
Came up big.
Definitely.
She heard a couple weeks either.
But from the very beginning, this was just doomed. This was just dumb.
Because they didn't have no plan.
Sean had asked about a group that did something that is dumb as them, and I mentioned Sanity, and Sean was like, "What do you think about them? What'd you say about Sanity, Sean?"
It was just like, yo, I felt like that their NXT run saved them. Like,
yeah,
they didn't do shit on the main roster. It was a complete, terrible run on the main roster. Vince again didn't do anything with them.
Well, don't forget the Nexus in them.
Nexus, Spirit Squad, but what can you say about all that? At least they won. At least Nexus, even though they were squashed by John Cena, they were still squashed by John Cena. They got shine. They won some matches. Same thing with Spirit Squad. In Charlotte, North Carolina, here in my hometown, I was at a main event downtown where at a Vengeance pay-per-view, Shawn Michaels and Triple H versus the Spirit Squad. Like, that ain't happened with The Reckoning. You know, it was a shit show from the beginning.
Yeah, they never got enough. Once they finally made people care about it, they did the one thing that wrestling is famous for, no follow-up. And the little steam that they had built up, everybody was like, oh, you ain't gonna follow up? So we don't care anymore.
Yep.
It was over the moment they started giving them graphics and music and stuff.
Right.
And it was on. They signed the contract. I was like, they doomed.
Yeah, exactly. Shayna and Nia, they defended the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. They were victorious over Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Belair hit a 450 splash from the top, but Reginald caused a distraction. Sasha Banks, she tagged in and locked in the bank statement. Binky tries to keep Nia Jax from interfering, but Nia Jax tosses Binky onto Sasha Banks to break up the bank statement. So Sasha gets in Binky's face, and Shayna Baszler uses that distraction to roll Sasha Banks up for the three count. Double distraction. Y'all gonna be drunk at the end of this show.
Yo, I tried to care about this match, but I didn't. Like, I don't get the salamander. Like, what's the purpose of the salamander? Like, why is he there? Why are our two queens of color feuding over a salamander? Why is Nia Jax in love with the salamander?
For a minute, like, I'm trying to remember who the fuck the salamander is. I'm like, oh, Reggie.
Yeah, it's just like, I just don't know, yo. I'm just so disconnected with this shit right now, man. And now with the Sasha Banks Big Show heel turn, just out of nowhere, it's like, yeah, it's whatever for me.
So after the match, Sasha and Binky, they continue to argue, and Sasha Banks slaps the taste out of Bianca Belair's mouth while she calls her a rookie and leaves the ring.
Well, you ain't gonna say nothing about that eyebrow.
I asked the question and no one answered it. I said, yo, she knocked her eyebrow loose, and nobody answered. Nobody said, nobody responded.
My bad, homie. I ain't see you ask that. I'll have chimed in on that because I saw that shit.
Come on, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, yo, that shit. Did she knock the op? Jesus Christ.
Hey, we can make the feud about knocking off the eyebrow because you don't mess with a black woman's hair.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah, unfortunately, I don't understand, like you. Somehow Reggie got from a detour as a side player to becoming, like, the major player here for the last few weeks. But you know what it is? It's just that WWE is lazy, and we ain't got nothing better to do for this in-between pay-per-view because it's too long to build up the match for WrestleMania. So we're going to put y'all as a tag team and fight.
You know what it is? Reggie makes Vince McMahon laugh. So that's what he has about
this. He sees Reggie hopping around, flipping and shit like that.
Like, some funny shit, pal.
He look at me, he flips.
He's gonna flip in a suit. He flipped in a suit. Look at him in his little shoes with no socks on.
Next up, we see Shane McMahon. He's coming out of the trainer's room using a crutch with ice on his knee. Elias begs Shane to let him perform at WrestleMania. Shane says that he has an idea. Then that leads us into Big E defending the Intercontinental title against Apollo Crews. Big E reversed a pinning attempt into a backslide to get the win. This looked rather...
Was this a kind of botch? Did something happen here?
Yeah. Apparently, that wasn't how the match was supposed to end it, but...
I think? During like 3 minutes.
Big E was at one, but it wasn't supposed to end that way. So
right. Well, hey,
he got up, he just stomped. I was like, "What the hell happened?"
Well, you could tell that it was a botch because they ain't show no replay, And mm-hmm. Jess the ref was nowhere to be seen during that beatdown. She didn't even try to stop it.
She my second favorite ref, Lady Ref Jess. She's awesome.
She was, you know, usually they come in there and be like, hey, knock it off, knock it. She was nowhere to be seen. Nobody wanted the stench of that on them.
So does this set up a rematch at WrestleMania?
Sure.
It's got to.
And it's just like, and that's the thing about it, like, and I know we're going to beat this drum a couple times. Like, what's the point of this pay-per-view? Like, it's too much. Like, you didn't need to have this to set up a match with them. I think it kind of devalues it a little bit.
Because they don't have
at Mania
jobbers.
And they've already fought. You know, the whole purpose of this feud is the fact that Big E has already given Apollo Crews numerous opportunities, and then he just gave him another opportunity at Fastlane, and now he's gonna get another opportunity at WrestleMania. It's like, oh man, make it make sense.
I have a question here. I think y'all kind of touched on it a little bit, but why does Apollo sound like the Jamaican dude from Belly?
Good night, y'all. Episode 2-something.
Sorry. Not gonna be that.
I haven't
don't do legs like that either.
I haven't watched it in a while, and I'm like, what is up with this?
Not gonna be that.
Oh my god.
Apollo Crews had a kid to get in touch with his roots and his ancestors. So he has fully gotten in touch with his roots and his ancestors. And he said he is no longer code switching to fit in. That is how he speaks, and he's not ashamed of it anymore.
Oh shit.
I'm sorry.
It's racism, just the subtle of racism just runs wild.
So are they basically giving him the gimmick that they were gonna give ACH?
The gimmick would be,
I thought he already had it.
The gimmick would be fine, sir, if he didn't have the damn spear. That's just
over. Yeah, well, he has a spear. What?
Yeah. He doesn't have a spear anymore. Somebody said 86 the spear.
No, he came out with it.
I wish AEW with 86 the spear.
Sean's hell, spear. Hell. Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
But
he only had a history with him no more. That was they gone too.
Someone said that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, the
henchmen. I was like, no.
The henchman and the scarf was good enough. That was actually a really good touch. The spear, too much. The accent, the scarf, and the henchman. What made them think he needed a fourth thing to get it over there?
Sean doesn't like the accent, so, you know.
I don't. It's annoying.
We're lukewarm on the accent, so we'll make sure that everybody knows he's African. Give him a spear. What the hell?
And then he's going to start talking regular again, and Triple H is going to say, I got a question for you. The hell happened to your accent?
Yo, did y'all see that time that, like, the New Day got into that machine, and then Kofi came out with the accent again?
Yeah.
Playing that SOS song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna be a great bit one day when Apollo and Kofi just talking their accents together. I look forward to that.
All right, back to Fastlane. Shane tells Elias that he's taking his place in his match versus Braun Strowman. That was up next. Braun defeated Elias. Braun, of course, got the win over Elias with the running power slam, bait and switch. You know,
I see they still haven't gotten rid of Gunner.
No, he's still hanging around.
Hold on. He probably joined his other troop patriots at the Capitol on Parlor. He was probably up there. Surprised the Feds ain't picked him up yet.
They had to get the other dude out of paint.
Steve Cutler.
Yeah, Cutler.
No, like, you should have seen his tweets from, like, back in his TNA days. He was pretty bad.
Oh yeah, I can best believe.
He probably deleted all those by now. If he knows it was good for him, he would have deleted all those.
Seth Rollins got the win over Nakamura. Good match here. Seth Rollins got the win with the stomp. So did a little Kurt Franklin. I don't think he caught
him. Hey,
you ever disrespect me?
So,
here's the thing. Morrison and Seth need to have a drip off because they trying to claim the drip.
Hair products or dressing?
I guess the dressing with the drip with the dressing.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
He calls himself Johnny Drip Drip, and Seth was talking about the drip.
No, there's a difference. Seth is a drip. That's what it.
Oh man, damn. Damn, man.
Seth Rollins has stepped up the wardrobe game here lately.
Yeah. Yo, can I just say this? I want to back up a little bit. I just want to say one thing about the Braun Strowman thing. Like, WWE, stop swerving your audience. Like, card subject to change doesn't mean we change the card just to fuck with you. Mm. Like, that's fucking annoying, man. It doesn't you fuck up. That's not good customer service. Like,
yeah, I was looking forward to see shit jump off of something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, somebody might have bought that or bought the cop to see that shit, and you fucked them on that, which means they might not come back for WrestleMania.
They might not come back to the cock.
Yeah, hey, you know, but going into Seth Rollins and Nakamura, I just enjoyed this match. Like, coming into the night, was this match announced before the
game on Friday?
I was doing something else on Friday, so I kind of skimmed through SmackDown, but I just enjoyed this match, you know what I mean? Like, not like that, Mo. it just made me want to say, I don't remember the last time if I've ever seen Nakamura and Rollins in a ring together. And, like, this is just something I would want to see more of down the line. I'll just say that.
Lots of fun.
I actually enjoyed it. It was really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You knew they were going to deliver if they got any amount of time. In a hard-hitting hoss match, Drew McIntyre once again defeated Sheamus. This time they had a no disqualification match. Drew hits the Future Shock DDT onto a piece of the announce table. Drew follows that up with the Claymore, and Drew McIntyre is victorious.
All right.
This could have been a number one contender match, but Peacock launch had to come, and they needed a main event for WrestleMania. So,
yep. Can't go to a new network, tout the biggest wrestling show of the year as your reason to come over and be like, "What's the main event?"
Yeah,
they could have used the internet. They could have found out. Tired of people talking about, we need that the main event announced. No, you don't. We know what it's going to be, but...
We know what it's going to be.
We know, but that do some shit that played out, you know? Like, okay, we're having the number one contender match. We know, the fans know what the outcome is going to be, but let's just do it anyway, just to make sense of it all.
They gave it away, you know. This match could have meant something more if it had some stakes to it. Mm. But all that they bumped it up to be is like, this is Drew's last roadblock before WrestleMania. So he's already going. He just has to fight Sheamus one more time,
mm-hmm.
so the road can be clear. You know, Sheamus is just nothing. He's just a roadblock. You know what I mean? We go over bumps in the road to get to our destination. That's what Sheamus is.
Right. Alexa Bliss defeated Randy Orton. Alexa Bliss, she threw a fireball at Randy Orton as he goes to attack her. The Fiend then comes up through the ring, all charred and burned.
Looking like Pizza Hut from Spaceballs.
Alexa Bliss shoves Orton toward the Fiend. The Fiend then hits Sister Abigail. Bliss then mounts Randy Orton and gets the three count to be victorious over Randy Orton.
Yeah, I see why Kim Orton said what she said to Alexa Bliss, because the way she slid on top of him.
Oh, Lord.
She was going to catch her backstage if she got caught backstage and it.
But shout out to the Fiend looking like Jason from Jason Goes to Hell. No, that was a nice little touch.
I asked the question. I said, if the Fiend's Jason, who's his Freddy equivalent?
Aleister Black, baby. You're going to get out of catering.
Look, but I'll say this. Like, knowing that Bray was, I mean, we all knew this was going to be the space that Bray came back. Like, honestly, I was afraid this was going to be another Kane situation. You know, Kane as in Kane unmasking. I thought it was going to be shit. I thought it was going to be some funny shit like this. So I'm glad they put a little bit more effort. There's still some silly shit, but it's a little bit more effort in this time.
What did y'all think of the Chuck and Screw remix?
Oh, the music? I love it.
Yeah, I like the music.
I love it. The fire effects, though, leave something to be desired.
So, you know, I feel like that fireball thing gets done right or in a manner that looks good less often than it does.
Oh, yeah. The efficiency rate on that is pretty low.
You know what I mean? I always compare that to Hogan's one, which was god awful. You know what I mean? Like, nobody, you know who I said, Mo.
Nobody throws fire like Jim Cornette, and nobody rigs fire like Scarlett, because the one that she rigged for Keith Lee was pretty good.
Yes.
But wait, Jerry Lawler didn't throw fire at all.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Lawler. Yeah. I forgot about Jerry Lawler. Yeah, because Jerry Lawler burned Austin Idol, and that was one of our better parting promos that the Classic put together back in the day. Still listen to that
sometimes. Speaking of Austin Idol, he was at a little show that I watched.
Oh, word?
Yeah. I'll tell you about it in a minute when you finish the pay-per-view.
Okay.
Before I head out, because I have to head out soon.
All right. Roman Reigns in the main event. He retained the Universal title against Daniel Bryan. Roman goes for the spear, but Daniel Bryan counters into the yes lock. Roman is tapping, but there's no official to call for the bell. Edge then grabs a steel chair and attacks Daniel Bryan. Edge delivers several steel chair shots to Daniel Bryan and Roman before heading to the back. A new referee.
You didn't say why he hit him, because Bryan inadvertently hit him first.
Oh yeah, Bryan smashed into him with the chair shot by accident.
It was a chair shot.
Yeah, he hit him with the chair and knocked him down.
Hit him like in the shoulder or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so Edge, you know, uses the chair on Daniel Bryan and Roman. The second ref comes down. Roman does the heel thing, barely makes it over to Daniel Bryan, puts his arm across him. 1, 2, 3. Roman Reigns, still your Universal Champion.
Did Edge turn heel?
Jey Uso got involved, the whole shebang. Is he turned heel for the Daniel Bryan versus Edge match? He did, yes.
Because they're saying that this might be a triple threat match, because Miss didn't like the original pairing of Roman versus Edge. So
should have put them together then, ass.
He should have.
He's the one booking the show.
Yeah. That's right. What I'm saying. It's like, yo, he puts stuff together and then changes his mind at the most non-convenient time.
Right.
You know, all the narrative that we know is that WrestleManias were planned a year in advance. Well, now, yes, WrestleManias are planned yesterday.
Mm-hmm. They might keep saying, he doesn't have... Like, WrestleMania is a plan chat, but all of a sudden he didn't like this matchup, so now he wants to put Daniel Bryan and make it a triple threat match. And I'm like, if you do, you could have just had Edge and Orton do a rematch for that cinematic match from last year and follow up on that. I know you hated that, Sam. That match for far too long.
Yeah, it was like Justice League, like the Snyder Cut, but like in a wrestling match.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And they talk about they're not doing a sequel, they're not going to keep up the Snyderverse.
Release something. What was the point of this bullshit?
Exactly. What was the years and years of how they said release the Snyder Cut, and now you're totally not going to do a sequel.
I have to watch a movie in a 4:3 ratio. Okay, I'm really upset.
The 4:3 ratio. Like, that was the vision. Fuck? That was his vision. I'm gonna get the hell out of here.
No, the minute that popped up on my screen, I really wanted to turn it off. I'm like, no, fuck you.
It's for Die Hards only, baby. So yeah, so that was Fastlane. You know, the pay-per-view before WrestleMania, the biggest thing is make sure you don't get hurt so you don't miss WrestleMania. And it looks like
make sure Daniel Bryan ain't around to fuck up your match.
And it looks like everybody accomplished that. Really like the psychology of the main event, though. Daniel Bryan going after the submissions, Roman having to fight out of various submissions at different points of the match, actually tapping out, but no one was there to witness it as far as the referee for an official capacity, as we saw it, you know, at home. So yeah, I like the way that match was really put together.
All right, so before we head over to Monday Night Raw, because I have to go soon, I do want to talk about the NWA show that happened on Sunday afternoon.
I was wondering if anybody watched it, because nobody was really talking about it.
I was live tweeting it.
I was still at work.
Was Damian Sandow there, sir?
Yeah, he was there. Aaron Stevens.
Yeah, he was in the main event, right?
So let me just give you... Yeah, he was in the main event. So you're just like, there were over like five matches. So there was a four-way match. I'm not sure if it was for a title shot or just like for the hell of it. But it was a Jordan Clearwater, Jack Stain, who I really, really, I can't stand this man's name. It's so disgusting. Crimson, who was seen doing the Goldberg, streak thing in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Stain, Jordan Clearwater, Crimson, and Slice Boogie, who wrestles in like the... I forgot where he wrestles. He wrestles somewhere. Anyway, so Slice Boogie wins. I never heard of this dude before, but I know about where he wrestles. I just don't really know too much about him. He wins. He defeats everybody in a four-corner match. So the next one we have the Pope. The Pope D'Angelo De Niro against Tom Latimer, who was formerly in that tag team with the Nicolas stable. They had a time limit draw in their match. It was for the TV title. Pretty good. Women's number one contender match, Thunder Rosa versus Camille. I was actually surprised at Camille. I had never really seen her wrestle before, but she actually did okay. And she actually spoke for the first time, Don.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was jaw-jacking at a... Yeah, I forgot his name. The commentator, the one that she was always like, the one that was always trying to get her to talk.
Yeah, the dude that's always dressed up in the suit, the straight man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was Joe Galley.
Yeah, Joe Galley.
Yeah, she was jaw-jacking with him. I was like, wait, all this time and you didn't say a word. Now you're talking like whatever. But Camille wins. She beats Thunder Rosa. Really pretty good, impressive match. I really hadn't never seen her wrestle before. Trevor Murdoch against the former Chris Masters, a.k.a. Chris Adonis. Trevor Murdoch wins. Pretty good. These are, I mean, it's the NWA. They're trying.
Right.
And they got some good matches. Let's see here. Chris Adonis attacks Trevor Murdoch after the match, puts on that Master Lock. I don't even know what they call it now, but it's the Master Lock. So let's see, NWA... NWA World Heavyweight Championship match. Aaron Stevens versus Nick Aldis with Austin Idol on commentary.
Oh.
Austin Idol was a piece of work. He would not shut up.
Man, Austin Idol going for the paycheck, baby.
Interestingly enough, there was no crowd, but I guess the crew was there, like in the crowd area. They were making some noise, so it didn't really matter that there was no crowd at all.
All right. I know Nick Aldis and Aaron Stevens tore it down.
Oh yeah, they did. The match was in honor of Josephus.
Yeah, the question mark, man.
Yeah, and the ending, it was pretty good. The entire roster got in the ring afterwards, and they put up the Mongrovian flag. I'm guessing this was his wife. His wife or whatever had the Mongrovian flag. Aaron Stevens had the mask. And they all put up that that horns that he used to do.
Yeah, yeah, the Josephus and, horns.
Yeah, yeah. It was a nice tribute.
Yeah, man, that was very shocking when I saw that. Because, yeah, he is definitely a big part of what made Power so entertaining.
Yeah, he was instrumental in their return.
Right.
In their return to TV.
Right, right. Want to give your shout-outs and thank you, sir, or you want to try to blast through Monday Night Raw?
No, I was just going to go ahead and just hit up. Thank you guys for having me back on for a while. Having me back on. It's been like 2 weeks, I think. I think that's about it. Just, you guys have a good night.
All right, man. We appreciate it. So now it's time for the aforementioned Monday Night Raw. We start off with Bobby Lashley getting a win over Sheamus. This was a non-title affair. Mid-match, Cedric and Shelton Benjamin come down to the ring to offer their support physically and emotionally. Sheamus goes for the bro kick, but Lashley moves. He rushes the corner, and Cedric Alexander distracts Sheamus. We get a spine buster from Bobby Lashley. He then lifts Sheamus, turns him around, puts him in the full Nelson, or the hurt lock, excuse me, and Sheamus taps. Out. Thoughts on the sir?
It was interesting that Sheamus tapped out.
Oh,
you rarely see Sheamus tap out.
Mm-hmm.
Is Sheamus gonna win a match?
Doesn't look like it. He won the backstage though.
Yeah, all right. But shout out to him. You know, hey, you can lose matches and get title shots. You know, hey, Bobby Lashley is the WWE champion. I'm really interested to see where they're going with this. It seems like they're always switching up what's going on with the Hurt business. You know, why can't they just be unify? You know, first we had the dissension between Cedric and Shelton, and now they're back cool, and now, you know, Bobby's this, you know, the champion. You know, they're trying to interject and not help after that's been the MO of the Hurt business the entire time they've been together.
Right.
So, you know, they need to create some synergy there. You know, be consistent on what the Hurt business is and what they do for each other.
Right.
Because, you know, what they're doing is kind of hurting the group. It's not helping them.
So after the match, Cedric and Shelton, they beat Sheamus down on the outside. Out comes Drew McIntyre. He sends Shelton into the barricade. Then does the same with Cedric. Drew calls Shelton out for some more, but Shelton, he don't want none. Drew then turns his attention to Bobby Lashley. Lashley seems concerned. Angry almost. Drew enters the ring. Lashley holds the title up. MVP holds Lashley back as he shouts for Drew to make a move. They argue back and forth. MVP shouting, WrestleMania, WrestleMania. Drew puts his hands behind his back and tells Lashley to hit him. He calls him a son of a bitch. MVP's like, hold on, player. We gonna let you get this one. As he finally gets Lashley out of the ring into the back. Y'all feeling tough guy, Drew?
Yes. More like, I like tough guy Drew better than I like Braveheart Drew.
He came out there in a pay-per-view with that on his face.
It was a war, man.
I think Miles. Triple H wore it better.
We come back from commercial break. Bobby Lashley is asking Cedric and Shelton, what the hell was that? Lashley says tonight was a one-on-one match between him and Sheamus. He didn't want or need their help. MVP claims Lashley, calms Lashley down, excuse me, as he steps in. He says that last week they tarnished the, excuse me, MVP says that tonight they tarnished the image of Bobby Lashley. It was an embarrassment, just like when they lost the titles last week. MVP wants them to think about what they're going to do to make it right. This is what's worse for business. How you going first to put all this effort through the wintertime? into making the Hurt Business something that people care about. Putting them together, adding Cedric, getting, you know, Cedric up to speed and everything like that. Good story. Then they start winning titles. Okay, Bobby is the, you know, well, MVP is the United States champion. Then he transitions over to Bobby. They introduce a new belt. You know, okay, people are starting to get on board. Then Cedric and Shelton win the tag team titles. People are like, okay, we can dig it. Then all of a sudden, here comes Bobby with the world championship. And now Hurt Business got all this momentum, all the belts. And now all of a sudden you start chipping away things. Now, you know, they're no longer the tag team champions. Now they're starting to have friction with Bobby Lashley and MVP. It's like, come on, man, let us have this. Let us have this for a good minute.
Yeah, and there was no reason to switch, take the tag titles off of them. You know, like you said, you built the Hurt Business all this time. You know, and now Lashley's the WWE champion. They're a stronger faction with those guys all having gold. And the only reason you took the titles off of them just so you could make a match at WrestleMania with the Black Kali. Like that is not a good reason to take a title. You don't take titles off of people 4 weeks before your biggest show of the year just to make a match to throw your new Negro out there. Like, oh man, it just speaks to the lack of creativity and long-term direction and focus that the WWE has. It's crazy.
Right.
Asuka, she got the win over Peyton Royce. It's a bittersweet moment for me here. Asuka, she grabs an armbar. Peyton rolls into the hole. Then Asuka transitions into the Asuka lock. And Peyton Royce has to tap. Unfortunately, they did not give her this last week when, you know, the promo was still on everybody's mind. They gave it to her a week later. And she showed well. They got like 10 minutes or more. But Asuka, too much. After the bell, Rhea Ripley's music hits. She comes down to talk about Asuka being the greatest. She says Asuka has proven her point. She says Charlotte was out there challenging Asuka for the title while Asuka was recovering from having her teeth knocked out. Now Charlotte isn't here because she's recovering from COVID. So Asuka, Rhea is going to need an answer. On her first official night here at Raw, straight up, she's going to challenge Asuka to a championship match at Mania. Asuka is hyped. She grabs the mic and says Rhea is not ready for Asuka, and she accepts.
Yo, lots to unpack there. First of all, you know, shout out to them finally giving Peyton Royce some time to have a match on Raw, something that they should have been doing 6 months ago. But here we are. But, you know, glad to see Rhea's out there. Glad to see that she's going to get the opportunity to face Asuka at Mania for the title. But, like, I cringed during the whole time that she was talking because, like, night one, you can already tell that they're writing her promos word for fucking word. None of that sounded like Rhea Ripley. Not one fucking word of it. And I cringed the entire time that she was talking. And I don't know if you all thought the same thing. Like, she just didn't look, it wasn't natural for her the way it was, you know, in NXT UK and NXT. Like, it was different. You could tell that it wasn't her. But nevertheless, glad she's here. It looks like she's going to be heel. I love heel Rhea Ripley if they do it right. Looking forward to WrestleMania.
The fact that they mentioned Charlotte having COVID on the show, that's really cool. I was like, wow, this is what we're doing. But yeah, so she came out there. I'm like, we definitely need crowds because Rhea coming out there, and we definitely need crowds back, like ASAP. I'm hoping that with WrestleMania, those who are brave enough to go, that this gives some kind of normalcy back to when we had fans.
I'm in the opposite camp. I would have much rather they held Rhea Ripley back until after WrestleMania. They obviously weren't going to have anything for her until after WrestleMania, until, you know, Charlotte's health was compromised. Hopefully she, you know, recovers and she does well. So I don't know why they didn't just stay on that same trajectory and pluck. If Peyton wants the match, give Peyton the match. You know what I'm saying? Just so Peyton can have the opportunity. Have Peyton have a number one contenders joint and a gauntlet match with the women or something to determine a number one contender, and let it be Naomi or somebody like that. But have a different way to get to where you're still trying to get to, where Rhea can stay on the outside. I don't like her just getting rushed into this all because now Charlotte Flair can't make it.
But so this is something I meant to mention on the more Meltzer portion. So it's a rumor. I don't know how good or bad, or how strong this is, but that she said Shawn may show up on SmackDown for whatever reason. I don't know. They said she may show up on SmackDown. And he said the reason why she was taking off the WrestleMania graphic was because of precautionary measure, just in case she's not able to go for WrestleMania. So,
yeah, I heard that, but you know, I know people are gonna react to that like, "Oh shit, Charlotte better stay out of Bianca and Sasha." Like, I don't see that happening. She might go over to SmackDown and engage. There are plenty of women who don't have nothing to do at WrestleMania right now. What the fuck is Bayley gonna do? Like, I would sit down and watch. I don't care if they're both heels or whatever role that they play. I'll watch another Charlotte Bayley match. Like, give it to me. So, like, I'm fine with it. You know, both of those girls deserve to do something at WrestleMania.
Right. The Miz and John Morrison, they come out to complain about Bad Bunny hanging on to the coattails of Damian Priest after his Royal Rumble performance. He says they are upset that Damian Priest and Bad Bunny are on the Mania poster, and they aren't. Miz says last week was his final straw. Bad Bunny wanted his attention. Well, he's got it. We see a clip of The Miz cracking Bad Bunny over the bat with the guitar last week. Miz wants this to be a lesson to all musicians, actors, and anyone else that thinks that they can do what wrestlers do. Next week on a special edition of The Dirt Sheet, it will be the world premiere of the smash hit. They keep talking about it, all the while a drum roll continues and we get a preview of Hey Hey, Hop Hop. They say that this is their domain, and Miz is challenging Bad Bunny to a match at a WrestleMania. He says he will end Bad Bunny's career, period. And if you want a sneak preview, just watch his match right now against Jeff Hardy. So The Miz got the win over Jeff Hardy. Jeff went for the twist of fate. The Miz escaped. He sent Jeff into the post. Skull-crushing finale, 1-2-3, and the A-lister is victorious. Miz is standing tall, yelling that he is the Miz and is a champion. That's when Bad Bunny comes from the blind side and breaks a guitar over the back of the Miz. Bad Bunny has the mic. He smiles. He says he accepts the Miz's challenge and calls him a bitch. And he says he will see the Miz at WrestleMania. Celebrity involvement.
Miz went from WWE champion to Bugs Bunny, man. Life comes at fast. That comes at you fast.
I think that makes him Yosemite Sam.
Yeah. I like that.
Or Elmer Fudd, whichever one.
Hey, look, between him and Morrison, they can pick which one is which.
man, The Miz is the perfect person to do this with Bad Bunny, just because, you know, the type of character that he exudes on television. See, The Miz is one of those dudes who isn't just cool with being one of these uncool kids who grew up and got the girl. He wants everybody to recognize, you know, all his other talents, even though they are pretty short as far as what he does in his profession. But he wants people to recognize them too. And it's like, hey, man, you got the girl. Just go ahead and be cool.
Yeah.
AJ and Amos, they're in the ring to cut a promo. AJ can't wait for WrestleMania. It'll be Tall Bruce Leroy's debut, and they're going for the tag team titles. AJ says they can't lose. The New Day, they have heard enough. Xavier Woods goes over what he just heard. Kofi says that in order for them to become an unstoppable tag team, they must first become a team, and what he sees in front of them is not a team. Xavier Woods tries to talk to Omos about how bad it is to be on a team with AJ Styles. He doesn't even know Omos. What is his favorite color? AJ doesn't know. It's Maeve. His favorite ice cream? AJ says vanilla bean. Almost says peanut butter caramel. Who is his favorite WWE superstar of all time? AJ, of course, says himself, obviously. Tall Bruce Leroy says Andre the Giant.
Do you realize everything that you just said?
Yeah.
Right.
This is some dumb shit. Why would the New Day? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Okay, I just want to laugh at something. Before the New Day came out, did y'all notice that Tall Bruce Leroy was, you know, trying to ad lib to shit that AJ was saying? It's just, he was just so off on the mic. Like that's why I started calling him the Black Khali, because the sounds that he was making in the ring with the mic up to his mouth sounded like shit that the Khali would be grunting in the ring. Like, I don't know what to do with this, man. I don't, like, and I don't know why Almost is getting this feature at WrestleMania. Like, this is not the space to, this dude could turn out Giant Gonzalez Part 2. Why would you risk that at the biggest show of the year? I just don't know.
Because he's 8 feet tall.
He's 8 foot tall. That's, and he's black. Yeah. We ain't never had one of them.
That's the spectacle. It's a spectacle, man. You tune in, not really to see who wins, who loses, but you tune in to see what the dude can do. If he's got, like, you know, superhuman strength, you know, like, what is his potential? That's what you're watching this match for. You're not watching it necessarily because you love the way that they built it up, because that's been terrible. But it's just him. He's the draw.
That sounds like some shit.
He's the draw. In a rematch of the part of their gauntlet match from a few weeks ago, Kofi defeated AJ Styles.
Don't know. I mean, there has to be some trust, but again, in the context of a match, you can't create that overnight. And look at some of this athleticism from Kofi Kingston. AJ Styles set about halfway across the ring. AJ Styles and Omos are going to have to create incredible tag team chemistry on the grandest stage of them all, and that could be a tall order. No pun intended with Omos out here.
Drop kick from the middle rope. Now Kofi Kingston.
Oh, nice takedown.
There's the cover. Shoulders down and a kick out. And listen, no disrespect to Styles. Oh, many believe he is one of the greatest to ever do it. But still, the New Day, a well-oiled machine as a tag team.
But let me ask you this. Can a well-oiled machine stand up to an actual Colossus, Tom?
We're going to find out at WrestleMania. Uh-oh. Went for a right. Kofi Kingston has looked spectacular through this match.
I mean, Kofi's had an answer for everything AJ Styles has put out.
And wisely keeping an eye on the personal Colossus of AJ Styles, Omos.
Boom.
Oh, right to the throat.
Keep an eye on Omos. It's the same thing Kofi Kingston.
Oh, my goodness. Into the steel goes Kingston. Whoa, 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 whoa. Omos.
Omos getting in Woods' face. Kingston versus Styles rolls on. Could this be the beginning of the end for Kofi Kingston tonight against Styles?
Styles now targeting Wise at the left knee.
Oh, wait, he's going for high impact to the knee. Now cover. Kingston nearly had him. Oh, and a drop kick to the knee.
Oh, precision attack by AJ Styles.
And Omos liking what he's seeing, learning, of course, from AJ Styles.
Well, some would say there's no better example to learn from. It looks like AJ Styles is going to finish this all off.
And Styles is loading up for it. Thinks he can finish off Kofi. Whoa! For the phenomenal forearm inside the ring. SOS! SOS! Kofi's pinned Styles!
Who's your winner? Kofi Kingston!
Give the assist to Xavier Woods and Francesca, but Kofi Kingston scoring an all-important victory over AJ Styles!
Keep your eyes off the bouncing AJ!
Styles and Omos have just a few weeks to prepare themselves for Omos' first WWE match at WrestleMania for the Raw Tag Team titles against the New Day.
So Kofi winning streak over AJ Styles. You know, they do what they do, have good wrestling matches, nothing to complain about as far as that. Sheamus is backstage. He cuts an interview about his match with Bobby Lashley and respecting Drew. Riddle comes up with his scooter. Sheamus asks to hold it and then proceeds to beat Matt Riddle with his own scooter.
So he won backstage.
Yeah, man. Oh, you stupid. Shout out to that person who tweeted me when I asked, so what does Sheamus do now? And they replied, he gets a U.S. title match. Hey, shout out to you, guy. Looks like you were right. Lose all them matches, get a championship match at Mania.
Hey, man, you got to get rewarded for being willing to do the jobs.
Hey, there you go.
Speaking of doing jobs, Cedric and Shelton Benjamin, they fell to Drew McIntyre in a handicap match. There were some stakes added to this match I missed. Basically, Drew was like, hey, I want this match. Pierce was like, okay, they're challenging you. He was like, okay, I'll take them both on, but we need some, stakes. And so they was like, hey, they'll be banned from ringside if I win. So Drew won. He hit two claymores, one to Cedric, one to Shelton. Pinned Cedric, match over.
Cedric sold the hell out that claymore.
He did.
He's not one of the best wrestlers in the world for nothing. Totally not feeling any of this. How you going, man? You going to sacrifice the Hurt Business just to get this main event at WrestleMania over? No, that's not best for business. This is just wrong.
It's not. All of this is to get, all of this is to get Drew McIntyre his crowd response championship win. And the Hurt Business is being sacrificed for all of this shit. Like, I don't like it.
It's awful. Yeah, it is total garbage. Backstage, MVP is admonishing Cedric and Shelton. Before he can finish, Lashley storms in and says since they couldn't get the job done, he's going to find someone that will. He enters another section of the locker room where the Lucha House Party, Drew Gulak, Akira Tozawa, Umberto, and Ricochet are all talking. He offers any of them an opportunity but they first must take out Drew McIntyre. This may be playing into that Ricochet promo you sent me, Mo.
Ooh.
Where he's talking about people done, you know, made choices and took different paths to secure a better destiny, and they done all left him behind trying to figure out what to do.
Right.
Yo, I hope that turns into something. And it would be great if Ricochet is a part of it. But I just find it funny that Lashley dug into his crew, said he was going to go find somebody to do the job, and immediately walked into a space with all the 24/7 guys. No disrespect to Ricochet, but yeah, I just found that funny. It's like, yo, your mans who just had championships, you mad at them, so you want to recruit somebody who just spends their time running around the building chasing R-Truth? Like, okay, cool, I'm for it.
Umberto was in the corner looking like Vishawn.
Oh gosh.
He was. He had a chain on with the black shirt. I was like, oh, yeah, his Vishawn drip. I see you, sir.
Nia and Shayna, they defeated the Sexy Muscle Friends, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. Dana hit Shayna with the right hand. Reggie gets on the apron. Of course, it caused a distraction because Mandy tried to trip him, but Reginald flips away. Mandy gets caught with the Samoan drop by Nia, and that's all she wrote. So Mandy and Dana, try as they might, still come up short against the Women's Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to say, but yeah, they were annoying as hell. Who was on commentary
again? Naomi and Lana.
Yeah, they were annoying as hell. And I like both of them, so that's saying something.
Everybody can't do commentary, man. It's definitely a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a harder when you have your tag team out there, too. Because, you know, now you got two people fighting to try to get in over the other two people that's, you know, regularly doing the commentary. So,
exactly.
I don't know what in the world they're going to do with Nia and Shayna. They keep teasing this breakup, but they keep winning.
Yeah. I don't know either. It's like, yo, was the purpose of this match to get to WrestleMania with, is this going to be a Nia, Shayna versus Lana, Naomi thing? That's, first of all, I hate to say this, but that guy, that has pre-show written all over it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that match is going to be on the main card. I just don't see it. Just like, yo. And I just echo what you said, Don. It's like, I don't know what to do with any of these ladies. Like, I feel like you should just get rid of the WWE Tag Team Championships for the women now, because, you know, I don't see a division. It's like, we're just throwing people together to have matches now. I don't know.
Alexa, she's in her playground. She knows Orton wants her out of his life, but she is still here, and so is he. You can't always get what you want, Randy, but tonight, be careful what you wish for. We flip to Shane and Elias. They're in the ring. Shane says as soon as he's healed up, that match with Braun will happen. He then says Elias didn't get the job done last night. Elias says he didn't have time to prepare. Shane says never interrupt him again. He says he had plenty of time today, and this is why he gets a rematch. They've also got a song together. It's called Braun is Stupid. But before they could get into the melody, Braun comes out. Braun defeated Elias. Braun runs and hits Elias with the shoulder tackle, power slam, cover, 1, 2. Did y'all hear the choo-choo train horns for the Strowman Express?
Man, what kind of bullshit was that? Like, I thought I was hearing stuff first, and then I saw Mo tweet about it, and I was like, yo, we're adding sound effects during matches now?
Fucking train, choo-choo train. I thought it was hand things. And then everybody was like, yeah, they added the sound effect to him running around the ring. I was like, get the hell out of here. It's kind of like with how when Ricochet gets announced and you hear the ricocheting of the bullet. That's a Vince thing, too.
Oh, man. It was so dumb. So dumb.
After the match, Shane enters the ring and smacks the back of Braun with the crutch. It bends across his back, but Braun no-sells it. Braun calls Shane stupid. Shane runs out of the ring with haste, not hurting at all. So now we come to our main event segment. Orton says...
Talk about... He challenged him at WrestleMania
He challenged him to a match at WrestleMania, and like he said, it didn't look like he was hurting to him.
Yeah.
No, he hauled ass out of there.
I said he was definitely gone.
Yeah, so now we got official.
We got a WrestleMania match off of somebody calling the other person stupid.
You gotta think about it. They did this. He did this years ago when he was.
Which way did he go?
When he was with the Big Show, and he kept doing that.
Which way did he go?
Shane O'Mac. Which way did he go? Which way did he go? And I'm like, you doing this again, sir? Come on.
But even then, you know, it was a little deeper than that. You know, they had Shane McMahon and Big Show had history, so. The feud wasn't just about Shane saying, which way did he go? Which way did he go? That was just a funny part in it. Mm-hmm. This whole feud between Shane and Braun, number one, just came out of nowhere. And it's just based off Shane calling him stupid. There's nothing else under it.
Nope.
But that's, you know, that's just Shane, you know. We gotta get Shane a WrestleMania match. Ooh, what can we do?
Yep, people wanna see that elbow drop, man, and they wanna see that coast to coast.
Look, man, don't the Bucks have that little pirate ship in their stadium? Look, Braun can throw Shane off that motherfucker all I care. Shane probably wants to get thrown off of it.
Shane gonna jump off of it. That's what he's gonna try
right.
to do.
No, he did that once against the Big Show. Drop did a big long drop onto the it was some kind of like stick broken stage or they had rigged up for the fall. But he wants to get his fall at the show. So good luck.
Orton says that it feels just like yesterday. He watched The Fiend being burned alive, but apparently he didn't finish the job last night. He smelled it. Burnt flesh. He doesn't know what he saw last night exactly, but it was an abomination. Tonight, he finishes the job. No more Bliss. No more Fiend. Alexa is here with her Jack in the Box. She's told him to be careful. She spins the handle. A toy version of The Fiend pops out. The lights go off, the flames pop out of the corners, and the Fiend is behind Randy Orton. Orton turns to see what he saw last night. Orton has a gas can with him. He smells it to let us know that it is gas. Orton pours some at the feet of the Fiend. He continues to drench the Fiend with gas as he stands there. Orton wipes the gas off his hands and grabs a box of matches. And then he sneaks closer and closer to the Fiend and then hits him with an RKO. Alexa is on the apron. She enters the ring. Orton turns around to face her. They stare each other down. The Fiend stands up like nothing happened, locks on the mandible claw. He hits the Sister Abigail with the mandible claw. Randy Orton is, of course, laid out. Alexa Bliss skips around the ring. She stands next to the Fiend and points towards the WrestleMania sign, and her and Jason Voorhees stand tall.
What, no fireworks? Oh, they did get fireworks. They did get fired.
So, you know, the Fiend charred version is back and, you know, causing havoc for Randy Orton.
I bet somebody money the day after WrestleMania he'll be back to normal.
What do you mean, random black normal?
Random non-burnt version.
Oh, okay. I got you. I was wanted to see what kind of transformation they were going to put him through, and they went with the burned alive, literally, motif here. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see Bray pull this off with the new mask and new garb. If they're gonna have the, you know, playhouse and everything like that come back, or is this just gonna be a dark sinister version of him since he got burnt.
Yeah.
You know, that fire does something to people.
Yeah, but pretty standard, you know, Fiend stuff. You know,
Right.
Nothing at the end surprised me. Pretty standard set up the match at WrestleMania. I guess my only question now is what kind of match do these two have? So that's what I'm looking forward to
An
seeing.
Inferno match? Can we get an Inferno match?
Hey.
Does that work?
I get the Edit Classic.
Does that work for everybody? We get to, you know, the
might as well,
right?
It was just say, yo, it would make sense. Like, if we are trying to, we talk so much about what doesn't make sense. Like, as much as fire has been not only this run of Randy Orton and the Fiend, you know, they have a history with fire when Randy was in the Wyatt family and turned on them and burnt down the house. So fire has been prevalent in their past and present. So it would make sense to have an Inferno match to, hey, let's wrap it up in this way.
Right. So that was Monday Night Raw following Fastlane. The first Monday Night Raw headed into WrestleMania. We got, what, about 3 weeks worth of Monday Night Raws to go until we head into that WrestleMania weekend, two nights, the 10th and the 11th.
Programming notes.
Yes, sir.
That's some programming notes for the listeners. So, MLB season is vastly approaching.
Mm-hmm. They got to get the hell out.
Right. So the WWE, so basically the go-home shows for both Raw and SmackDown will be taped. The Raw, I think it's the Raw go-home show will be taped on March 30th, and the SmackDown 9th will be taped on April 1st. So,
well, that gives the kids a good little break before WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean that's a good thing. They can get both of those out, and then they can rest up that week, WrestleMania week. Don't have to worry about. I mean, it would have been impossible because if you're having you're having a takeover stand and deliver that week.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're having the SmackDown go home show. So all that'll be taped.
Yeah.
Anybody can support for NXT, you know, if they choose to.
Yeah, that's good though, because they could use that break, recharge, get ready for WrestleMania, and then, you know, that long run between WrestleMania and SummerSlam. Yep. All right, guys. I'm gonna turn it over to first Mr. Shallon Shogun MA for his shout outs and thank yous.
Just shout out to you, Don. Shout out to you, Mo, for having me once again. I look forward to, you know, coming on to the show each month. And, yo, just a big shout out to the WrestleCast family and, you know, chopping up with everybody on a weekly basis with our WrestleCast family during the shows. So shout out to the whole fam.
All right. Mr. Mo, to the _ Reese, your shout outs and thank you, sir.
Thanks for Sean for coming through once again, kicking in the door, crashing the buildings, all that good stuff. Don, another week, another recap. Shout out to everybody. Simi, Jay, Anwar, Terry's boy. Anybody who'll be in the hashtags with us, Cammy D, Roll Up Sunny, Jerome, and EC. I'm about to give her a nickname because I'm not gonna try to keep mispronouncing that girl's name. Our voiceovers on doing the shows be on point. shout out to everybody who's down with us, you know, making the shows more watchable and more entertaining than just sitting there just like watching, like, why the hell am I watching this?
I almost went Kara S1 when you was like, shout out to everybody that's down with us. And BDP is down with us.
For real. Yeah, so that's it for me. Yeah.
All right. I'd like to thank both of these gentlemen, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese and Shaolin Shogun MA for joining me, along with Samuel Kalunga for joining me on this episode of the WrestleCast, episode 295. Also, check out the latest edition of The Push as we talk a lot of things AEW. So that's also available on the network. So please check that out as we go through a list of questions from our host, Sean, and we give our opinions on AEW. Also, give a shout out to me and Miss Simi over on The Dark Match, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Listen to our exclusive content where you can find banter, The Dark Match, where we talk about AEW Dynamite. This week's Dark Match will have a little bit Mo underscore Reese. We're reminiscing about some old hip hop and record stores and things of that nature, some nostalgia. So yeah, always some good content over on the Patreon page, so please continue to check that out. Just shout out to Miss Didi Jonay, Greg, Miss J to the Max, Anwar Starwin, Miss V, Jupiter Julep, the usual cast of suspects that roll with us each and every week throughout all the hashtags: Rawcast, SmackDown Matters, Dynamite Cast, NXT Cast. Thank you to everybody again who showed up for hashtag cast in the fast lane, shared their commentary with color on fast lane. It was a very enjoyable, the pay-per-view wasn't bad, but the commentary with color was always really enjoyable. I didn't think the pay-per-view was bad at all. I mean, it was a C show.
I told you, that point five held up for me. And that's what I thought about that.
I wasn't.
It might have been the one because Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns put on a classic. Right.
I wasn't expecting it to be no.
I moved up to a one, but that point five was really holding strong for me until the end.
I didn't come into it with a whole lot of expectations, maybe. So that's the reason why.
Because you won who you got, and you're just like, like, oh my god, I won.
I just come off of watching like a month worth of New Japan, like almost every day. So yeah, I wasn't really expecting a blowaway type ish, and they did exactly what they did. So I expect the blowaway ish to come April 10th, 11th, and two nights at TakeOver. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But
there's so much wrestling. WrestleMania is always so much wrestling packed in.
Oh, man, y'all just about to get a normal week for me in the next 2 weeks. Those little 8 hours they're about to give y'all, that ain't nothing. I do 10 every week, homie. Sometimes more than that with New Japan's got a lot of stuff popping.
Yeah, man. But you're committed to it.
Yeah, man. New Japan is like my palate cleanser. Like when I get like just when I get tired of watching this American entertainment, sports entertainment, I get my New Japan fix and I'd be like, okay, I'm rejuvenated. I'm cleansed.
Yeah, you get back into the bullshit.
Yeah, I'm ready to get back into this other stuff.
How Bad Bunny got his match at WrestleMania.
I mean, you know, he was on the poster and the Miz ain't.
No, but yeah, but then how he just snuck up in the ring, hit him, and kind of blew himself up, because that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, he was winded. He was winded, he was like
SpongeBob Bean when he'd be putting his hand against the wall, you know, like breathing heavy. That was Bad Bunny.
Goldberg wouldn't even have blown up walking down the ring, man. You a younger cat, so you gonna have to get some endurance, man.
He's probably excited, and then you know it's not the easiest thing getting in the ring and all that type of stuff. But yeah, if he's that blowed up off of just that one spot, boy, he got a whole nother thing coming.
But Miz will make him look good.
Miz
will make him look good, so he'll be fine.
Just continue to support the WrestleCast. Continue to retweet, share the show. Give us those 5-star reviews so we can get more eyes on the product so they can know what we're doing over here on the CSPN. Also, give a big shout out to the guys over on the Comic Book Chronicles. Can't forget about the OG flagship show, the CSPN. Those guys have done more work than we have at the WrestleCast. They're at like 400. 100 and some odd shows. So tip of the cap to those gentlemen over there at the Comic Book Chronicles. So for Mr. Shaolin Shogun MA and Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don Delarente, and this has been episode 295 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Excuse me, Seth. Ever since your return to SmackDown, you've been trying to send a message to the SmackDown locker room. Do you think you did that tonight?
Ah, Twitter loves a drip. They love my drip. They see my pre-fast lane drip. They also love my in-ring drip. You know who didn't love it, though? I feel like Shinsuke Nakamura really didn't love it. But, you know, all the respect in the world to Shinsuke. He's really an incredible performer. Top class, world class, top caliber performer. And just, you know, he gave me a heck of a fight out there. You know, he brought everything he had. And, you know, he probably emptied the tank. But, I mean, it just wasn't enough. You know, that's just how it is sometimes when you're in the ring with me. And, oh, gosh. But he learned a lesson. I learned a lesson in respect, and I really hope that he's on the phone with his buddy Cesaro right now. I mean, I don't know how his jaw is feeling after that stomp, but hope he's able to talk and maybe text. Maybe he's texting his buddy Cesaro, letting him know that he might want to stay out of my lane too, because if he doesn't, the same thing's coming to him, but probably worse. All right, I gotta go check the Twitter. Thank you, though.
Thank you, Seth.